And on tonight's show, I'm going to be continuing with the review of an elemental, which I was doing quite a while ago, and then it just faded away. I think it was superseded by the chakra reviews and also the book reviews that I was doing, the revolutionary psychology, and which I continue to do. So I thought we'd continue or get back on that topic, because the elementals are really interesting and they're more of an esoteric or a spiritual work and study. But I know that the feedback from the shows that I've done previously have been positive, and so it, I think it's worth going back into. So I just wanted to start with a reminder of what elementals are, if we're just listening for the first time, maybe we haven't listened to any past shows. And they, in essence, are the spiritual part of a plant, an animal, or a mineral, or a rock. So they are innocent, spiritual counterpart. We also have what is called an elemental, but we call them an essence when we're in the human vehicle. So elementals also exist in the four elements, so the fire, water, air and earth. There's like a spiritual principle in all those substances, which is why when you go to the ocean it's very cleansing, or if you're out in nature, again it's those elementals or the spiritual part of all those plants and the fresh air that are working within us. But whilst we are conscious of it, whilst we feel it, we perceive it, we probably don't really know why and what's going on. So these are other elementals. And there's also the teaching of the transmigration of souls, which is that we, in our journey, in our path through life, exist in many different, or have existed in many different vehicles. So we've existed as a mineral, we've existed as a plant, as an animal, and probably many, many times. But whether or not we remember that and when we're conscious of it is another thing. And the teaching is that we have gone through these cycles many times. By the time we reach the human stage, we have our three brains fully developed. That is our instinctive motor center, our emotional center, and our intellectual center. And something unique that happens in the human stage is that we have the capacity to develop and to strengthen the ego. And the ego, we could call it the sense of self. So that sense of self, of me as an individual entity separate from anyone else, is really strengthened when we have all those three brains active, particularly the intellectual one, which is just interesting to reflect on when we compare our journey through the different vehicles that we have. That is the mineral, the plant, and the animal, and then the human being, or the intellectual animal, as it's often known as. Now, the elemental, just as a review, the elemental topics that we've previously covered was it was kicked off when Paul Mofsession, the instructor from the Blue Mountains, came and talked on elementals. So if we are interested in listening to that, then we can go onto the website gnosticwaves.com. That's spelt GNOSTICWAVES.com. And there's actually a search function there. So if you just typed in elementals, I'm pretty sure it would bring up that talk. So he gave a really good introduction on what they are. We've also done the elemental of the rose, and that was, or that is useful for working to heal our emotional center. to heal. If we've got like moral pain, we feel we've been betrayed or something tragic has happened and we haven't been able to recover from it, then the rose elemental is very helpful for that. And even when we smell the rose, we can really feel the restorative essence in through the smell of that plant. We've also covered the peppermint plant, and that helps us with remembering esoteric memories. It can help us remember our past experiences. It can also help us remember our dreams and all those types of things. We covered the cinnamon briefly. I think it was an add-on to another show. And the cinnamon is used to help experience joy and happiness. And that's something I think that all of us could work with it at some stage or another. But tonight we'll be reviewing the aloe vera plant. And I was looking back to see if we had covered it or not, and I'm pretty sure we haven't. Not, at least not in its own dedicated show, which is quite interesting because it is a very common, well-known plant. And you could say one of the first that I learnt about in the Gnostic studies that you could work with the elemental of it. And so in these, when we're working with elementals, we can do meditations with plants. And we don't need to necessarily have the plant in the room. If we can just imagine or visualize it, we can still connect with the elemental, because the elemental of a plant isn't restricted or trapped within the physical vehicle. It's like our own essence in our body isn't trapped in our body. We can experience things beyond our body. Of course, we often don't because we are conditioned, but plants and animals, their elemental is not conditioned like ours is. So they have more freedom than we do, but the catch is they're not conscious of it. But so when we do these practices, we can have the plant or not have the plant there. And obviously when I'm doing these at the studio, I didn't bring my aloe vera with me, although I could have, because some of them are quite small and transportable. And actually I'll be reading something that shows that they are very transportable plants. Okay, so to begin with, it says that, and this is from the teachings of the Master Samael, which is the founder of the modern Gnostic movement. So it says that the aloe vera is a plant of great occult powers. These elementals have power over everything. So that's a pretty big statement. Generally, we relate the aloe vera to healing, but we can also use this plant for anything else, really, for protection. We could get help going into the astral or anything else that we need in our to experience. If we form that connection, that bond, that trust with the elemental, then we could pretty much work with it however we feel we need to. But in respect to its healing properties, I mean, this is not something new at all. The aloe vera, people use it on the physical level, so just using the plant itself, not even aware of its spiritual counterpart. And we use it for burns, sunburn, any type of burn really, any type of cut or healing that we have. We can use it topically. You know, there's special procedures or there's special recommended procedures when working with these plants directly. We can bless the plant, and there's other type of procedures that we won't go into. But I think just generally speaking, having that respect and, respect in the essence of that plant is going to help us. Everyone uses aloe vera all the time. It's in lotions, it's in creams, soaps, shampoos. It's in drinks, so people were always, drinking the aloe vera. It's a very common plant in the market, you could say, and we don't need to be working directly with the elemental. But, of course, it's going to give more force and power if we do. My first Gnostic instructor gave us the example that he had a growth on his skin and he used the aloe vera topically to put over that growth and then and obviously worked with it spiritually as well, and that growth ended up removing, dissolving or disappearing is the word. And he was going to have to get it cut out, but he tried to use the aloe vera and it worked for him. So that was a really powerful example of its capacity. I remember the first practice I did with the elemental, and yeah, it helped heal something that, you know, in that needed healing in myself. Also, my mother, and if you're listening, hello, she tells me that if you cut up the plant in little cubes and swallow them like a pill, that it can help prevent cancer. And I'm not sure where she sourced that information, but it wouldn't surprise me at all that it would help in that aspect. So there are so many ways we can work with the aloe vera in a healing capacity, and not just with physical ailments, but my experience is that we can use it to heal our emotional center. So if we need to cleanse the emotional center, there is a lot of stagnant negativity that we carry, then we can use the aloe vera in that respect. It's also very good at helping with our reproductive center. And so if we have any problems in that area, we can work with the plant, with the energies of the plant to cleanse and to heal in the reproductive organs. And what's really interesting is that the mantra for working with aloe vera is the letter M, which is also the same as the mantra for the chakra in the reproductive organs, the Svadhisthana chakra. And so it's a really interesting correlation there. So the ways and the extent that we can use the elemental of the aloe vera are probably further than I can explain or to give any type of anecdotal examples. It's got great power, and the ways and means we can use it are, you know, for each of us to explore. So the elemental of this plant is said to resemble newborn children. So again, the elemental, the form of it is different to its physical form. In its physical form, we see the leaves and it's got the spikes and it's like a jelly type of feel within the leaves. And but its elemental form is that of a newborn child. So it's got that real innocence to it. And a lot of the elementals actually are described in a childlike way. That's because they've got that purity. As I said, they have purity, they have freedom, they're just not conscious of it. So we can use elementals in any way we wish. And it says that we need to command them. And what's good to keep in mind is that they're innocent, so they're going to work with anyone that knows how to work with them. But we need to do it responsibly, because if we do something and it's of a negative nature, then we are the ones that we suffer the consequences. It's not the plant. So that's just something a bit more advanced. And there are, and it probably doesn't pertain much to this elemental, but there's other elementals that we might use in a less positive way, and just to know that we are the ones that bear that karma. So just to keep that in mind. So now this plant lives and feeds itself with the ultra sensitive rays of the sun. So this is interesting. Whilst the plant itself is quite watery in nature, so when we cut open a leaf, we see it's, you know, very gel-like and watery. It's actually a solar plant. And I don't know if we've covered this before on the show. Each plant that exists in creation has a certain planetary influence. So we've got the seven governing planets in our solar system. The Moon, Mercury, Venus, the Sun, Mars, Jupiter and Saturn. And so each plant is under a particular ray. So you've got lunar rays and plants associated with that. Mercurian for Mercury, Venusian for Venus, solar for the solar plants, Martian, Jupiterian and Saturnian. So each of those are planets that I mentioned. And the characteristics of these planets influence the presentation of the plant. And so each of them have particular characteristics. As an aside, we also fall under certain planetary influences. And I don't just mean our astrology. So we have our astrological sign. So like, for example, I'm a Libra, so therefore the planet that governs Libra is Venus. Okay, so one could say that my personality would therefore have influences from from Venus. But we also fall under another influence, and this is of our being. Our higher self comes under a certain ray. And interestingly enough, next week we're going to have Paul Morph Session come on the show and talk to us about the rays of the being. So that will be interesting. And I won't say any more of that, but we have our own particular affinity to a particular ray, much like the plants do. Anyways, that's an aside. Continuing on. So the plant, because of its solar nature, it's able to multiply its leaves without the necessity of earth or the water element. So, for example, you can hang a leaf on a wall without any, you know, earth or without any water, and it will still be able to grow. And that's pretty amazing. So it's very regenerative in that respect. All right, so we'll just go to a short music break and then we'll be back to continue on this topic. And I've chosen the track Fürlis by Beethoven. So we'll be back in a short while. So back to tonight's topic, which is the study of the aloe vera plant. Now, it says that the elemental department of the aloe is intimately related with the cosmic forces that take charge of regulating human reincarnation. So this is quite similar to the peppermint plant elemental, which has a role in helping, you could say, elementals or essences going from body to body. And I think what we find is that there's many different elementals that help in this process, in this transition. The peppermint's one, and the aloe vera is also one. And it can be very useful to know our past existences for many different reasons. Because when we start the teachings, we take it on as a belief that there is more to life than this one. But it's really good to have that living experience of it, because the impact or the reality of it is just completely life-changing, the way we view our life. And it's interesting that the way we view our death has a great impact on how we live our life. So, you know, just something to reflect on there. So it says that just as the aloe can be pulled out from the earth in order to be hung upon the wall, in other words, its environment can be changed and it continues to live. Just as well, the human being can also be pulled out from the earth and their environment changed in order to continue to live. This is the law of reincarnation. So as we mentioned before, the aloe plant can be uprooted and it can very easily be replanted and grow again. In fact, I had my own experience of moving into a house, finding lots of aloe veras that had been pulled out of the ground and just left on the side to be thrown out or something. I'm not sure why they were pulled up. So I put them back in the ground and they're thriving now. So they just needed some, well, they didn't even, they didn't really need the earth and the water to survive. They just will survive just as they are. But obviously they looked a lot better being planted in the earth. And so likewise, we our consciousness goes from one life to another. Perhaps it doesn't pass on straight away. It rests for a while in the superior dimensions, and then when the time's right, when the circumstances are appropriate for what we need in life, then we come back and are reborn. And so we return. And this is the law of return, or as it says, the law of reincarnation, which actually technically is different, but we won't go into that. So yes, so for some people, reincarnation is a belief. For others, it is a theory. For many, it is a superstition. However, for those who remember their past lives, reincarnation is a fact. So if we have that direct experience, it's then a fact. It doesn't really matter what people believe or not believe or tell us or think about the idea, the concept of it. It is what it is for us, and it's a fact. It says that we have all rolled through millions of births and deaths as numerous as the sands of the sea. So we've all existed for a really long time. And I once had a dream about that, that was telling me the same thing. All very old essences. And it's really mind-boggling to know how old that is and how much we've experienced. And it's interesting because despite this, not everyone is interested in wanting to wake up and wanting to recapture all those past experiences we've had. I mean, there's definitely some people that do, that are kind of had enough experience living through the countless births and deaths and are ready to move on or to become more conscious of the process so that we don't have to keep repeating the same things over and over again, like a broken record. Generally, if we're at that stage, then we become more interested in the spiritual work, in the esoteric studies, and therefore attracted to shows such as this. So if we're one of these essences, then keep listening. So yeah, in tonight's practice, we're going to work with the mantra for the aloe vera. We'll visualize the plant. If we've got one in our house, we can bring in a pot plant, then that's great. We'll work with the mantra, and then we'll do the recommended practice to help remember our past lives, which is something we've done before. We've done retrospection practices, but this is to be done with the purpose of remembering our past lives. I think what we should keep in mind when we are doing these practices is that we're generally shown the things that we need to be shown, not necessarily what we want to be shown. So we might not be given an experience of our past life, and we might therefore be skeptical and say, oh, you know, okay, well, they don't really exist. If they existed, why wouldn't I have the experience of it? But it's not necessarily the case, because I think we have to have a good reason for wanting to know our experiences. For example, in the work of the ego, to understand maybe where the ego originated. If we've picked up a certain behavior or habit and it can't be explained in this life, then we need to look for its origins from other lives where it originated. So in this respect, if we have more information about the circumstances where the ego really took off, then we're going to be able to work on it better. And so it's very useful in that respect. But to just have it for the sake of vanity, to have experiences for the sake of vanity, is not really that useful. And if anything, it will be worse, because it might feed our pride if, you know, we see ourselves in as a past life in a particular way. It might not be helpful. So we need to be able to approach it in the context of the inner work, and to liberate the ego, and to work to pay off our karma at the same time, thus avoiding, you know, the same problems and difficulties in life. Yeah, I wanted to mention or refer to a book that I was reading the other day, given to me by a special friend. The book is called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. And I was reading some really interesting things that were relating to reincarnation and past lives, and I wanted to share them because this whole book is really interesting. It's not written by the Master Samael. It's not in the Gnostic curriculum, you could say. But it's interesting because it tries to explain or provide a theory for the universe based on hologram and holographic structures. And it goes through all these various metaphysical and psychic phenomena that people experience, and explains it through the by means of holograms. And it goes in, you know, it goes into to detail, and it gives many different examples. The author is very well researched and provides lots of different examples from different psychiatrists, psychologists, scientists, doctors, healers, psychic readers, and even his own anecdotal experience of things that he's lived through. And so he's got that really nice blend of science and spirituality, which aren't so foreign to each other, really. When I look back at the things, scientific things that I've learned at school, they're very useful for explaining spiritual phenomena. And so this book is really interesting in that respect. And to begin with, he starts to, or towards the end of the book, so during the book he explains different phenomena like near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences, or people that have dreams, or any type of psychic experience, maybe particularly undergoing hypnosis and having past life experiences. And so towards the end of the book, he's proposing what is needed to be able to validate and give credibility to people's experiences of a psychic or a metaphysical nature. Because everyone knows or has stories of something of that, like maybe even to level of seeing a figure that's like a ghost in the house. Or when I was younger, I was seeing something that moved without explanation. When I looked in the bag, there was nothing in there to explain why the bag was moving. And so whether we've had a direct experience or we know someone that's had an experience, that they exist. It's not things that we're making up. There's too many to be. And so in the book, he suggested that the first and necessary step is to accept the existence of psychic and spiritual phenomena. And I think he's talking about in the scientific world here. And he quotes a scientist that says, "Why don't we assume that any class of experience or phenomena that have been reported through the ages and across cultures has a face validity that cannot be denied?" So he's saying that all the experiences and cultures among the ages, that has some weight. It continues on, it says, "At least part of the reason is the long-standing bias Western science has against such phenomena. But the issue is not quite so simple as this. Consider, for example, the past life memories of people under hypnosis. Whether these are actual memories of previous lives or not has yet to be proved. But the fact remains, the human unconscious has a natural propensity for generating at least apparent memories of previous incarnations. In general, the orthodox psychiatric community ignores this fact. Why? At first glance, the answer would appear to be because most psychiatrists just don't believe in such things. But this is not necessarily the case. Florida psychiatrist Brian L. Weiss, a graduate of the Yale School of Medicine and currently, well, at the time the book was written, chairman of psychiatry at Mount Sinai Medical Center in Miami, says that since the publication of his best-selling book, which is a book on reincarnation, in which he discusses how he turned from being a skeptic to a believer in reincarnation after one of his patients started talking spontaneously about her past lives while under hypnosis. He has been deluged with letters and telephone calls from psychiatrists who say that they too are secret believers. He says in quotes, "I think that is just the tip of the iceberg. There are psychiatrists who write me they've been doing regression therapy for 10 to 20 years in the privacy of their office." And then he's got in quotes, "and please don't tell anyone," but, you know, implying that this is what the psychiatrists approach him with. Many are receptive to it, but they won't admit it. So I thought that was really fascinating, is that, I suppose, in the culture of psychiatry and in psychology, that it's kind of not generally accepted in past lives and that, but within each individual's, inside themselves, in their essence, they do actually believe it because they're being presented with cases of it all the time. In another part of the book, he writes that the way we adopt theories and take on theories in the scientific world is not, like, say, he uses this example of the Big Bang, and I'll just read out what he says because it's better than me paraphrasing. So he says, "The idea that the universe began in a single primordial explosion, or Big Bang, is accepted without question by most scientists. And this is odd, because although there are compelling reasons to believe that this is true, no one has ever proved that it is true. On the other hand, if a near-death psychologist were to state flatly that the realm of light that NDE's near-death experience people travel to during their experiences an actual other level of reality, the psychologist would be attacked for making a statement that cannot be proved. And this is odd, for there are equally compelling reasons to believe this is true. In other words, science already accepts what is probable about very important matters if those matters fall into the category of fashionable things to believe, but not if they fall into the category of unfashionable things to believe. This double standard must be eliminated before science can begin to make significant inroads into the study of both psychic and spiritual phenomena." So he has, or appears to have, a good foundation and knowledge of the different scientific models that exist, and he's trying to, in this book, and through the theory of holograms, to provide like a structure, an intellectual framework, you could say, that allows for these spiritual experiences to occur. Now, I think a lot of us don't really need that framework. For a lot of us, I think it does help. But, you know, for most people that are able to connect with things like elementals, spiritual things, past lives, then that those experiences are enough. Even having dreams of things, and dreams are of the astral world, is enough to make us believe in other dimensions other than the physical one. And so those things I was reading, I found really useful, because I like to read about people trying to give force, give credibility to things of a spiritual nature. Because let's face it, we're the underdog in this society. We live in a very highly materialistic society. And even if people have an inkling of interest in the essence or the spiritual esoteric studies, often it gets drowned out by multitudes of other impressions and advertising and all these things that exist. So we're the underdog. But nevertheless, we persevere. All right, so let's just go to another music break and then we'll be back to do the meditation practice. This is another track from the Chill with Beethoven CD, and it's called Violin Sonata No. 5, Spring. Now we're going to enter into meditation practice. Before we do that, I just wanted to read it. It says, the mantra of this elemental is the vowel M. The correct pronunciation of this vowel is made with the lips closed. So, even if we rise and we rise and lower the pitch, or the, no, I'm not sure what the word is, but if we go is also another way that the mantra can be used. So I'll read the recommended practice. We're not going to have time to do it all, but nevertheless, if we want, we can do a longer one in our own time. It says, all human beings can remember their past lives by means of the exercise of retrospection. You can do a retrospective exercise daily in order to thoroughly remember all the incidents that occurred the day before, and to remember in reverse order all the events that happened 8 days before, or 15 days, 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, and to remembering with precision all those events of the first years of our childhood. When the student arrives at the first 3 or 4 years of one's life, during one's retrospective exercise, it'll happen that it will become very difficult for one to remember the events of the first years of one's infancy. When the student reaches this point, one will then practice one's exercise during those moments of transition between the waking state and sleep. Then, in visions, during one's dreams, one thoroughly remembers all the details of one's infancy. Because when dreaming, we are in contact with the subconscious, where all our memories are stored. By taking advantage of the transition state between the waking state and sleep, we can prolong this procedure of internal retrospection until we remember those moments that preceded the death of our previous physical body. And by continuing the retrospective exercise, we continue to remember our entire previous reincarnation and all those that preceded it. The exercise of profound, internal, and delicate retrospection allows us to remember all our past lives. So to begin with, we're going to relax the body, relax the mind, relax the emotions. Letting go the events of the day with each exhalation. Letting go of any stagnant negative emotions. Letting go of any preoccupations in the mind. Keeping the body relaxed as best we can. Trying to connect with our essence within. With that spiritual part that is free, that's not conditioned, that childlike nature within us, that pure, innocent energy. From this perspective, from this point, the center of gravity, we imagine our aloe vera plant. Imagining that there is a plant that is wherever it is, in our garden, in our room. Connecting with the visual image of this plant, its luscious green leaves, like jelly or squishy in its texture. Whilst we're imagining this physical appearance of the plant, we're trying to really connect with its spiritual aspect, its spiritual principle. We ask our divine inner mother, our divine feminine force, to help us to connect with this elemental. Connect an energetic pathway. Trying to feel that connection with the aloe vera. With our attention as concentrated as possible, let's use the mantra M. Let's use the mantra again. This time I'll be going up and down with the sound. When we feel like we have a connection with the elemental, we can ask for help in remembering our past lives, in a very simple way, without expectation, without results. And to aid this process, we do a retrospection of our lives as far back as we can. Of course, this could take a while depending on how old we are, but we do as best as we can. Best time is to do this, as it says, during those moments between waking state and sleep. So it could be as we are falling asleep, it could be as we're waking up to allow ourselves to be shown through our dreams or through images in that state where our subconscious is more accessible. All right, that's all we have time for. Unfortunately, I didn't get time to do the retrospection part with you, but as I mentioned, that is something that we can do in our own time very easily. It's not something, that I can necessarily do any better over the radio. Main thing is that you can use a mantra if you can. Work with the plant to aid in the process and to work with that elemental force. Thank you for joining me again this week. Next week should be Poem of Session, talking on the rays of the being. So I hope you can join in. Have a good night, and until next week, see you then.